Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on. Soccer.
And Marie, we've been chatting over the last while, and especially with Ruby, but we never got to flesh out your weekend highlight an awful lot more. You were with the under-15s, the Republic of Ireland Irish under-15 soccer team.
Yeah, I spent the day with them. It was a super day. I got to go to the pre-match briefing, the team announcement. They went through tactics, got to watch the match, do post-match interviews. They were playing against Australia and they won 2-0. Kevin Zeffie and Alex Nolan both scored goals, and it was just a really, really good performance. They've now won 7 out of 7 international games this season. They beat England. They've just been playing really, really well. And I did a little feature on it with the help of my super producer, Ronan Lawler. And I started with a team meeting led by the under-15s head coach, Jason Donoghue.
Right, quick one. Timetable for the day. Quick meeting here, 20, 25 minutes. Pick the team. I'm going to go out then, the set players. Go in and show some clips that we played against England. Some good positive clips, good mindset going into the game. Go through the set players then. And then we go out and win a football game. Have you got that?
Yeah.
The 11 will start, obviously. We get everyone on the pitch. We meet up next Tuesday. Go travel to Spain, where everybody's going to start one of the two games, the first two games anyway. Is that okay? Plenty of opportunity. Small clips just to show you, I want a positive mindset going into this game. Defensively, what we're doing well, I'll ask you as we go along. What's good? Many people are moving.
Everybody.
So as a team, we're all going together, yeah?
Yeah.
So that communication is working. Have I made my point quite clear defensively?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Let's have a look at a couple of really good attacking clips. Tip off. What we going to do for the tip off? Overload. So we get three of them all one side. Good quality pass going in here. This is as good as it gets, fellas. It's 14 passes, 20 seconds later, it's in the back of the net. And it's confidence. That's what we want from you. Confidence, intensity in the play. All those principles that you're seeing there, bring them all out. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to leave her on that one.
Yes!
Captain, huge honour to captain your country. It's as big as it gets. Cottle Heffernan, give her a round of applause.
Kyle Heffernan, and I play for Cork City.
So, Kyle, you captained the Republic of Ireland under 15 team today against Australia. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was a dream come true. Like, I've always wanted to captain my country, and today for it to finally happen, it was a great experience. Like, I was very happy.
The performance of the team as well, Kyle, it was so impressive. From the solid defence, the goalkeepers, right the way through, you really seemed to have a fluidity about your play.
Yeah, we had to go through it at the start of the game, you know, that we had a certain game plan that we were going to carry out, as we always do, that we're just going to, you know, go hard at every team and, you know, see what they throw at us. And today, they gave us a good challenge in the first half, but our class pulled through in the second half happily.
What does it entail playing for Ireland? Like, what do you have to do in terms of training and juggling school and everything?
Yeah, it's hard, you know, trying to juggle the two, but you have to. Your school is important as well, but, you know, do you know, I train probably like minimum 3-4 times a week. Just I try to get out just to keep my football ticking over, even if I'm not training with my club, just to, you know, try to push myself to the next level.
So what would you like to do then? What's the dream for you?
The dream is to, first of all, get to represent my country at senior level and get capped at that, and then hopefully get a Premier League start or a start for my club in the future.
Your dad and mom, they must be so proud.
Oh yeah, they are. You know, I'm happy they didn't think it was a failure now, because you know, there's a lot at stake, you know, because the two of them obviously being Olympians, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me to kind of pull through, but hopefully now I'm kind of taking over the role a small bit.
So your mum and dad are Rob and Marion Heffernan, who I met a little bit earlier on, and they're so proud of you. What does Rob in particular, who I think we're all so familiar with his voice, what does he say to you before you go out in these big days?
Oh, he kind of gives me advice, you know, because he's been through so much tough days in his life. So he just says, go out and express myself, you know, play every game the same, you know, high intensity, just stay concentrated and stuff like that. So no, he's a real help, you know, to have just going up in the car, you know, and before I go away, I'm always on the phone to him and just keeping in contact. And he's always giving me tips, you know, and high performance and stuff like that, like, and how to maximise performance.
First 15 minutes of every game, what do we do? Press them hard. Don't let any team ever settle and dominate possession against you. You got that?
Yeah.
No teams to sell. 15 minutes, you go out, you dominate from the start.
My name is Sam Curtis and I play for Shamrock Rovers.
You're not the only one in your family that plays football and plays for Ireland. Tell me about them.
My older brother Ben is playing with the 16s Ireland, and he's away in Turkey now playing a tournament for the 16s. And then I have my little brother Max, is now 12. He's playing a final and all now for his DDSL club, an All-Ireland final tomorrow. And then my little brother Cole is 8, and he's a fantastic little footballer, little winger. He's brilliant.
So what was it like growing up then in your house with four boys, all football mad?
Oh, it was unbelievable. We always pushed each other to be our best. We'd normally, my dad would take us to an indoor football place close to where we lived, and we'd go down and we'd do drills, we set out drills, we work on what we're not the best at, and then we work on what we're the best at, and we'll challenge each other to be the best we can be.
So you were the youngest player playing there today for the Republic of Ireland under 15 team. You've just turned 14, but you've already captained your country at 13 years of age. That's seriously impressive.
Yeah, it was unbelievable feeling going out captaining. Oh, it was unbelievable. And at that young of an age, it's just, what else can you ask for, really?
So yourself and Cahill are a very good partnership there. You seem to gel really well.
Yeah, great. He's unbelievable. He's the best centre-back I've ever played with. He's so, you know, you can trust him. He has my back, I has his back. We're together the whole way through the game.
So what does the future hold for you then?
Hopefully the future holds me. I like to go to England. I like to play football in England at a higher level than I am now. But the level that I'm on now is still unbelievable. But I'm hoping to go to England. I would like to play abroad. And hopefully I can stay in the Ireland squad up until senior age. It's unbelievable.
Does it give you a lot of confidence seeing so many young Irish players now doing so well over in England?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. For example, Troy Parra, I'm looking at him getting into the first team of Tottenham and all for a few games. He's unbelievable, he is. And I just, hopefully I can follow in his tracks to go and do the same what he's doing.
Yeah, well done, Ireland.
So you've just beaten Australia, a super performance, but it wasn't the team you expected in terms of age. Tell me about it.
Well, we came here and we planned that we were going to play an 0-4 age group where we're an 0-5 age group, but it just transpired they're 0-3. So it was a big physical battle for us, and their boys had to put up with it, which was great. Obviously we won, but the first half performance, we went in 0-0. I was more pleased that we actually matched them and still tried to play our football, their style of play. That was fantastic.
They really rose to the challenge, especially in that second half.
They dominated the second half, arguably controlled the game, managed the game really well by taking breathers, by keeping possession, slowing their high press down. Overall, I couldn't be more happy with them. It's great prep leading into the Spain tournament next week.
Just looking at all the players that have came through now and are starting to make their way in at a senior level in clubs in England, some in Premier League, Championship. How many of them have came through the system that you're looking at going, oh, I've seen that guy come through, I've seen that guy come through? And how much credit can the underage here in Ireland take for what's happening now at the top level?
Most have come through the emerging talent programme, but also came through the grassroots clubs. Yes, we've a national league now, but everyone needs to realise, you know, they've all a small part to play in developing that player, that person, for want of a better word, to be honest. The likes of Troy Parra, you know, everyone's talking about Troy. He was here 2.5 years ago, maybe, and now he's played for a first team. But a lot of that would be down to his club in Belvedere, where he spent 9 years with. So there's a lot of different variables in terms of what makes the player be the player he is. But everyone should be just working towards making him the player he actually is, rather than taking credit for it. Just say, listen,
has a small part to play. He's doing really well. Let's hope he gets injured free, gets playing football, and then goes on and wins games.
So just in terms of the national team coaches, you and the other underage, how does it work then with football philosophy? Is there just an approach now that the whole FAI is adopting?
Well, to be fair, I know Real Doctor gets a lot of stick at times, but one of the main things he's done, and that's worked for us, is we meet once a month, from Mick McCarthy right down to me at U15s level. And we go through all our game reports, our clips, our best players, our training, what we do. And we all work sort of in a layering approach of sort of improving the players as they get older, you know, the demands of the game, your UEFA tournaments. And we just all make sure everyone's on the same hymn sheet in terms of what we expect from our players when they get to our first team.
So I am now joined by Rob Heffernan, father of Cahill. I'm no longer calling you Rob Heffernan Olympian. It's you have achieved something brilliant seeing your son play out there today, Rob.
Yeah, for me and Marion, we're very proud. I think every milestone when you represented Ireland first, you're so excited. And then that's done, that box is ticked, and you move on. And today, even when he scored his goal against Poland, you're so thrilled. And now today, being captain, it's a huge, huge honour for him. But you're always looking for his reaction and how does he deal with it. And I thought he did well today, and, you know, it's lovely. It's great.
I've spent the day with the Republic of Ireland under 15 team. The setup, Rob, they seem to be doing everything right.
They're doing everything right. And, you know, people are quick to go on about, you know, the bad stuff that has gone on. But ever since Cahill's been involved, since last year, the education, the balance in the education and how they carry themselves, and then how they're complete animals on the pitch, but in a good way. They have a really good balance. There's a really nice respect. There's a good bond amongst them. And, you know, the training environment when they come in, it's a dream for me as a sportsman. Like, I've lived that life, but I had to pull in all of my kind of family and people to help me. And it's great to come up and just see things being done properly. And all he has to do is concentrate and playing ball. So he's living the dream in that sense, you know.
In a way, it's kind of almost like the pressure isn't on him as much because he's doing a different sport to you guys. Like, he's not doing athletics, he's doing football. So
but I think, you know, for me, it doesn't matter if you're running or walking or playing football, the level is a bonus. So his natural attributes will get him so far anyway. With any of these players, they're all really talented and they'll be brilliant at every sport, but it's how they adapt to new challenges and how they grow, and that's the enjoyment in anything, you know. So it's, I think pressure's good. You need pressure as well to perform, like, you know, and pressure being in such a privileged position to be involved with an Irish team at any level and to have the opportunity to get better, I said, you know, that's only a positive. It's a positive pressure, you know.
In Ireland, we love making a fuss about people, and we love hype, and we love fast-tracking them to great things. But what would you like to see him achieve in his football career, Rob?
I just love when he comes away from this, he's playing a tournament in Spain in a few weeks, and you want to see how he reacts to that. And even saying this morning, I goes, every time, I said, for as long as you ever do sport, or you're for, if you're ever involved with Ireland, never, ever, ever take it for granted that every day that you go, you need to be 100% switched on. You need to love it, and you need to feel privileged that you have the opportunity to represent your country. So once he's getting better and he's enjoying it, and he just keeps on working hard, I think the key is, especially in soccer, you know, where people can get carried away with the lights, if you stay true to being a sportsman and you keep on wanting to work hard and get better, you know, it's up to him how far he wants to go, you know.
Lots of different voices there surrounding the Republic of Ireland under 15 team. Last one was Rob Heffernan, father of Cahill, who captained the team against Australia. We're going to continue our discussion about the development of football in Ireland after this quick break. David Snaid, soccer journalist, is with us in studio.
Welcome back to Game On. Marie, fantastic work by yourself and Ronan there. It was a great piece about the under 15s. Gave a real perspective on all the sides of it. Enjoyable?
Yeah, it was great. It was it's just nice to get to see that side of the game, because when you're a journalist or just a fan, like, you never actually get taken into what happens behind the scenes and how things are delivered and how tactics are explained. So to even go through it more, we have brought in David Snaid, soccer journalist. David, welcome to Game On.
Thanks very much. Good evening.
So they're a good team, aren't they?
The 15s?
Yeah.
They are, you know, and they're at that stage now. You just listening to that, and just part of me, you just have a bit of a smile on your face listening to them, because like, they're just so, I wouldn't say just innocent, but they've got everything ahead of them now with their careers, you know. They're with their different clubs in Ireland, and like, there's going to be a step that they're going to have to take if they're going to become professional, but at the moment, for a lot of them, they still have those dreams, and it's just purely about the football and the enjoyment at this time for them, you know.
David, what I loved about it was the answers coming from the floor. So it can, you know, just what a brilliant way to kind of coach. Instead of telling them what to do, like Marie got unbelievable access, but you could hear the answers coming from the deck. Is that normally the case at that age?
Well, like at this stage now, it would be, because you speak to so many coaches around the League of Ireland, and obviously there's, over the last few years now, there's been the developments now with obviously the National League. So like in Ireland, traditionally you would have the schoolboy clubs who would develop young players, and then like the culture is then they go to England at say 15, 16 and have to try and make a life for themselves and become professional so young. Whereas now there's the realisation that that's not really a sustainable model to continue to produce really good young footballers, but also young lads. So coaches now, especially with the National Leagues, with the League of Ireland clubs, have become a lot more educated in how to deal with young people on a personal basis, which I'm sure yourself, in your own career when you were growing up, you would think would have been a major factor for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
We have a text in, well done on highlighting the great work being done in underage soccer. There's so much positives going on in the game. There really is. And David, you'll stay with us, William. We will chat about it after the news. Now we are continuing our football chat, or soccer chat as some people call it, and David Sinead is joining us in studio. David, this time of year for young players who are trying to make their way and trying to get clubs in England, is a time where they might get snapped up?
Yeah, so like traditionally the culture in Irish football is lad gets to 15 years of age and they will have already been on the radar for a lot of English clubs if the player itself is at that level. So like I've been working on a piece for this weekend for the 42, and it's just very interesting to speak to different people around the game how around this time, January, February, clubs now are beginning to make sure that they're getting their lads in for the summer to begin their, basically to begin their careers. But you speak to people and I don't think the kids realise sometimes, you know, they see maybe a club coming in from the Premier League or even the Championship, and sometimes parents see kind of the dollar signs flashing, and that's not what it's about, you know, because like there could be, if you're a really talented kid, you might get a good deal once you're on the pro, but if you're 16 you can only go on YTS schemes, which is youth team. Now the most you can make when you're on that scheme is £180 a week, you know, because you have to do your education as part of that. And these big clubs in England, these kind of like conglomerates almost at this stage, they're getting funded by the British government to do that for these kids. So the kids have to get the right deal for themselves if they're even gone, because you look at it and they could be on 2 years of a YTS, maybe 1 year of a professional contract, which might bump things up, but there's just no guarantees, you know. Like we were chatting to Jack Bourne today, obviously, who has come back into the League of Ireland after being at various different clubs because he had to leave Manchester City. And now he went to Manchester City because they were a club who had this brilliant academy and were pumping loads of money into it. And like he's competing against the best players in the world, you know. He was telling me like he lived in digs with Angelino, who is like at the stage now where he's around the first team and stuff. So like this is what the challenge are for young lads. And then there's this balance as well. You see today as well, like this afternoon, like Jason Knight, who gets a new contract at Derby County, 18 years of age, and he's a regular in midfield or sometimes on the left for Derby County in the Championship. Like he left Cabinteely to go to Derby County because they're the only club for him. And it's just a very, I'd say, perilous time, because players have to pick the right club if they're going to the UK, and that, getting that pathway into a first team, because you speak to parents, you speak to obviously the kids, you speak to the clubs, and it's, they all have to get to that first team, but there's such a small percentage who actually get there. And that's why it was so interesting just listening to the piece you did there with those kids. And like one of the young lads there was mentioning, talking about his dream is to get to the Premier League, and he's already mentioning Troy Parrott. And like Troy is 17 years of age, full Ireland international, and yet there's already these talks about getting into the Spurs squad. You know, he's not in the squad for the game tonight. He's had his debut, and it's just that continuous, obviously, like the wheel spinning constantly of lads going over, and you just want to see what's actually going to happen with them, you know.
But David, we also heard Cathal Heffernan saying that he just wants to play a level up. Yeah. So is that a kind of coaching mindset that, you know, they have, like, when you hear his dad, who would know high performance and know what good is, we hear so much bad, but he couldn't speak highly enough about what goes on at the grassroots level. Mm. Is that the way to develop our next pool of talent, slowly work them up and try to keep them at home?
Well, that's it, and the key word there is slowly, because like at this moment, obviously Cottle's in with Cork City, and Colin Healy there, who's just has a tremendous amount of experience in Ireland and obviously abroad, he's running things for Cork City with their academy. But at this moment, there's not a proper industry around keeping young kids in Ireland, and not just the ones who maybe, because there always could be certain kids who are just destined for greatness, if you put it that way. But it's making sure what's here for kids in terms of getting to that age of 15, 16. Can they continue their education? That's what needs to be really kind of the infrastructure needs to kind of be developed. So obviously there's League of Ireland clubs now with the national leagues who are trying to get their house in order. But there's something bigger needs to be done in terms of government, even kind of assistance, whereby young lads can stay here, continue their football education, and as you say, because not everyone's going to get to the Premier League or get to England, they're going to be going to hopefully into the League of Ireland, but they need those structures even at that age, from say 16, 17, because it's such a big leap to get from any academy system into a first team environment where basically the whole thought process has changed. It's like, it's no longer just about your own development as a person and as a player, it's about results. And it is slow, and it is happening, but it will take time, and you just hope that clubs can continue to get the support from kind of external circumstances. Like, you look at Shamrock Rovers at the moment, like Dermot Desmond is kind of majorly now a part of that club, one of the part owners, and like he's big time now going to be obviously hopefully investing in that academy. But it can't just be people coming through, it needs to be kind of obviously as well that government assistance too, you know.
Like, there's no doubt that football development, David, has been hampered by everything that's been going on off the field. Do you think that we will get to a stage where we have a football industry in Ireland that is viable, that is working well for the future of Irish football?
When you look at the people who are working in the game, you would hope and you would think that would be the case. Like, there has been, obviously what's happened with the FAI has been it's well publicised, but there has still been good work in terms of with like the emerging talent programmes, in terms of identifying these kids. But it is like you go to football in the UK and even in Scotland and even the lower leagues, in terms of leaving some with League One or Championship, it's an industry and a business, and there can be an element to it where it's cutthroat. But If you're gonna have that here, there just has to be the proper infrastructure. There has to be clubs who have proper training grounds for these kids to go to, who have the qualified coaches. And it is, like Antonic has mentioned earlier, or Dunners, as you were saying. it is slow, and like there's no problem with that, because not because if you rush into things and you just kind of throw money at it or throw certain situations at it, maybe that's not going to actually be the right way, and it's not going to actually develop it. And if it's the proper infrastructure is in place and the proper pathways are in place, then slowly but surely you would hope that for those lads who maybe can develop in Ireland and continue their careers in Ireland, that the proper infrastructure and kind of stability is there for them.
David, is this the light at the end of the tunnel? But all the bad we hear going on in the FAI, when you hear the likes that Mick McCarthy meets up with the under-15s management, that the grassroots level are working, we heard it in Marie's interviews there with Belvedere and working across it. You mentioned the football development, the talent pools. Like, it is taking shape. It needs to be supported and nurtured, doesn't it?
Oh, of course. And like the fact that Mick McCarthy is meeting with these underage coaches can only be a good thing. And what provides a lot of hope for that afterwards will be when Stephen Kenny comes in involved. Like, that's someone who is like steeped in Irish football, someone who has no inferiority complex about what he knows what Irish players are capable of. And you look at these, even just taking that under 15 team, who can go and beat England comfortably. This is where it's a bit of an issue in terms of like the culture in Ireland is always these young lads who have all the talent and they stay here and they're based here up until a certain point, and then we lose them, and then they go to England, some come back and they're just demoralised and fall out again. So what you're saying there about like about that, De Bruyne and the hope that that's always been there. There's always been these talented kids, but the problem is that the structures haven't been in place in Ireland to either A, keep some of those who maybe aren't quite ready to go to England and actually give them a reason to stay here, but also B, when those, because it's just the nature of it, it's just, hopefully it might change over a long period of time, but the culture is best lads will always want to go abroad. But even if those lads do come back, that there's something there for them, that the club that they've been with from the age of 12, maybe 13, 14 and then left, that they can offer them something. That's going to be the big thing here in the League of Ireland, with the responsibility. And you see the people who are working on the ground, especially in the League of Ireland, that's what they're aiming towards, and you just have to kind of stick with it and just hope that it comes to fruition.
It does help when the likes of Jack Byrne is standing up almost to the minister when he makes comments that the league is for developing young players, but it's also for the likes of Jack Byrne, that someone who's gone over and came back again.
Well, that's it. And like, if you look in the League of Ireland, there's just so many of those stories. Like, I know myself, and when like interviewing players and doing like articles with them, and like there's always that element of the story of, you know, kind of heartbreak in the UK and coming back, and all of them always say, well, if it wasn't for someone taking that chance on me. Like, prime example would be Patrick McElhenney, who was at Dundalk. When he came back, he was just playing football. He was at Sunderland. He just came back and was playing five-a-side Astro matches up in Derry in cages. Stephen Kenny just happened to pop up one evening, saw him and brought me into Derry City. And if it wasn't for that, like, who knows if someone like Patrick McElhenney, who's been one of the best players in the League of Ireland for the last few years, would have been lost. And that's what the league has to be. It has to be obviously a place where young kids can develop, but it has to be a competitive league at the same time. Like, there is that balance there too, you know.
That interview with Jack Byrne will be played tomorrow, and he talks about his conversation with Minister Brendan Griffin.
Yeah, Marie, I'm interested in everyone in Cork, of course, are chatting about Cathal Heffernan, and you saw the game. How good is he? Like, having a talent pool of two Olympic parents, I'd say he's quite special.
He's very special. He's a big guy, which surprised me, because Rob isn't a big guy.
No.
But he's big, but he's also, like, I mean, you're looking at him and he's 14 years of age, but he's so mature, and he was so composed on the ball, and like just never panicked, like able to control the ball at his feet, like just calmly pass it out from the back. When he was contesting headers, just like clear them every time, just really, really super.
Like, which bodes well. The only issue with that, and I don't want to be showing dampeners on that, is that's basically every centre back or every midfielder now that's produced. Every player is really like that. And if just to get you excited about someone from Cork, like Sean McLaughlin, who came through at Cork City, actually got released by Cork City at the under-19s, then got a chance back under John Caulfield to go back into the first team. He's gone over to Hull City. He then went on loan to St Mirren for 6 months, playing centre back, played every game for St Mirren in the SPL, and now was brought back by Hull in the Championship, who are only 6 points off the playoffs. They play Chelsea on Saturday. He could be in with a shout, and this is a centre half who's had the knocks. He's 23 years old, but could actually properly make a real career for himself, and that's another indication of lads who have to go a long way around.
David, that would be brilliant, but half Cork is wondering, could he hurl?
He actually played rugby, but then he said his true love was football.
Oh, so he's dead right.
He's got a place in my heart anyway.
So, like, we're always talking about how we don't have enough good players in Ireland, but when you look at the last week and our Republic of Ireland players who have played in the Premier League, there's been quite a lot of them. Randolph, who's going to play again tonight, Clark, Coleman, Egan, Stevens, McCarthy, Obafemi, Long, Harahan, Connolly, Hendrick, Doherty, all in the last week.
It's not bad.
And we've got still a whole three fixtures tonight, another one tomorrow.
I know, that's it. And like, even if you look at the games that are even happening tonight, obviously Leicester, West Ham, Darren Randolph, like, that's someone who's a bit older, but like, pretty surprised a few people by going back into West Ham after being playing for Middlesbrough in the Championship. But once Lucas Fabianski comes back, will Randolph actually still be first choice? Then that throws the element of doubt into what happens in March with the playoff game against Slovakia as well. But it's just like, if you look at everyone's talking about Troy Parrott in terms of with Spurs. You look at Spurs haven't scored a goal in open play since St Stephen's Day, not scoring the last three Premier League games at all. And Jose Mourinho was obviously coming out and saying he's just not ready. And like you said yourself in the piece there, we want someone to get excited about. But this is someone who I think we can be excited about. And like Jack Bourne was even talking about today, saying, well, he's still only 17, let things flow. But I think sometimes with a player, you get to an age, you get to a point, regardless of their age, that they need to keep going. They need to try and have that next challenge and the next step. And from speaking to people about Troy Parrott, he is one of those people. Like, he's not playing 23's football, even for Spurs. He's not involved in the Spurs squad tonight for our game against Norwich. And like, lads, it doesn't matter. Like, and even Donico will know this, even like young lads, like, not that they're prodigies, but certain lads just need to keep on getting that next test to see how they go. And I know we get excited and sometimes they need to be reined in, but I think in Troy Parrott's case, he is one of those type of players who just needs that next challenge almost now to see how he goes.
David, especially with that stat you had, they haven't scored in open play since Stephen's days, was it?
Yeah, in the Premier League, yeah. Spurs, like, you know, and I think the last three games at all that they actually haven't scored, and I think it was since Harry Kane. Obviously, Harry Kane's going to be out now for the next while, and obviously Jose Mourinho doesn't want to bring him in, which is, like, I suppose his right. Who's not going to question Jose Mourinho, but, like, even if it's a loan move for Troy, because that's a big one, you know, because he was like... Like, we can forget, like, McCarthy wouldn't have brought him in for that game against New Zealand, even though it was a friendly, if he didn't see something in him. And all the reports are of a lad who has his head screwed on and someone who takes things in his stride. So you would just hope that if he does get a chance again, that he'll hopefully be able to take it.
David, you'll be interested in the Manchester United team news. They have made two changes from their defeat to Liverpool. Phil Jones replaces Victor Lindelof, who's ill, and Mata comes on for Luke Shaw. And then in the Burnley team, Jeff Hendrick is starting and Brady is on the bench.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even like, when you were saying there that United were making two changes, I wasn't sure if one of them was the manager. But but that's an interesting one. Like, even with United, like, they're... Like, I think Solskjaer now is at the point where he's on a bit of a hiding to nothing, isn't he? Especially after what happened at the weekend. Like, there was a lot of talk that, like, there's so many moral victories now with that Manchester United seem to be having, and they kind of lost the fact that they actually have to win games, not just moral victories, you know.
And Burnley beat Leicester as well.
I know. Well, that's even with Burnley. Like, you look at it, like, Burnley were struggling for a while, and then they get that victory over Leicester. They go there to Old Trafford and maybe cause an upset, sneak a 1-0 win, they go level with Arsenal. You know, it's just crazy how the Premier League is at the moment. You can throw a blanket over so many teams.
Well, we will have updates from all of those games throughout our show tonight. David, thank you so much for joining us. It's time for a quick break.
Game on
2FM. Weekdays from 6.